and my life is going to be changed. And so thank you for coming this morning, all of you. And especially even, you know, I commend those who are here for the first time, but also those who've been here week after week, month after month, year after year. Even those who helped build the foundations of this building are here today, and that is awesome. Is that not awesome? Are you kidding me? God is wonderful. We need to pray. Anyone not feeling well this morning? Because we want to pray that right out right now. Oh, not feeling well, young man? You're not feeling a little quite up there? There was, I got a prayer request. Somebody on their way to church this morning stopped at a gas station and told the gas station attendant where they were going. The gas station attendant, when he found out where they were going, asked if we'd pray for him. So we're going to pray for Chris, the gas station attendant, also. Amen. But Lord, we pray right now for each and every person who ventured into this building today to find your power in their lives, that they would find your healing as well. God, through the power of faith, through the power of your blood, through the work, God, that you have done, giving us healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each one today that's not feeling well. And even this moment, cause them, God, to just be released from these ill feelings and just totally filled and whole in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, children, you want to go downstairs? We've kept you a long time today, haven't we? Your shoes are broken. Well, pray, maybe you'll find some new ones on the side of the road. You never know. Okay. I apologize to the children's workers that you only got about 20 minutes, half an hour. But that's okay. You'll find something to do with them. Yeah. By the way, if you're wondering why there's so many chairs out, we allowed another church to use our building the other day for a funeral. It was a rather large funeral. And so we put out extra chairs. And so what you're looking at is 201 chairs, 201 because I'm an overachiever. They only asked for 200. But I happened to carry one extra up the stairs, so I put it out anyway. But we decided to leave them out because I wanted you to be able to see what 200 chairs in this sanctuary looks like. And also be praying. You know, how many of you heard that phrase, if you build it, they'll come, right? Yes. Well, we've got chairs for them to sit in if they show up. And so there they are. I don't know how long we're going to leave them there. But, you know, and I was afraid that this morning, you know how when you got a lot of chairs and a few people, it looks like nobody's there? Well, we look pretty good this morning. So I might just leave a few more out than what I'm used to. But anyway, that's why there's so many chairs out now. If you were curious about that, be praying for the Wheeler family. There's a gentleman named Rich Wheeler. He was a deacon at the Baptist Church down in on Geneva Street. And he passed away, and his family obviously is in sorrow. My wife's family, my wife lost just a wonderful aunt in last week. Audrey Beyer had passed away. And so we have been, and that's partly why I'm just like, you know what, I'm in jeans today because I've been in suits all weekend and I'm just tired of it. But and also be praying for the family who lost this 17-year-old boy who was riding his bicycle the other day and got hit by a tractor trailer right up here in Geneva. And so there's a lot of sorrow and a lot of loss in this community right now. And, people just need to be loved. People need to know that there's those, you know, around them that will mourn with them and just will love on them. And so be praying for these families as well. I have been teaching through what I have been calling the master key to successful Christian life. And here are the verses again. I put them up there because I knew that there would be some people who were new today who haven't heard anything that I've had to say. Did I add a verse? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I added a verse. Actually, it's the same verse twice. Got a little sloppy in my copy and paste off my notes, apparently. But these five verses, I believe that if we were to follow them, we would find ourselves walking in God's will. First one, repenting, which means getting saved, turning our hearts to God. Second one, denying ourselves, taking up our crosses and follow him. And I'm going to talk about him more, that particular verse more. That's why it's on the bottom there. It should have been on the next slide. Matthew 4:19, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That gives us the clue as to what it is Jesus really wants us to do and what he's called us to be. And then he gives us power through the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8 that we could be witnesses to him. And then in the end, he tells us exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to be preaching the gospel to every creature. And so my question always is this: are you fishing for men? Are you preaching the gospel to the world around you? Because if you are not, that means that you are not really walking in what God has called you to do, and you have some room for growth. And so I don't point all this out to condemn anybody, but to encourage people to say, hey, you know what, I need to get on track with God. There's more to this Christian life than just me getting saved and then just living my life out until he returns again, or until I die and go to be with him in heaven. He's got something for me to do. Eric, could you say that? He's got something for me to do. Amen. Now, for those of you who looked at me and said he's got something for you to do and refused to say he's got something for me to do, you need to repeat it again. Because he does. Each and every one of us. He's got a purpose and a plan in our life, and he wants us all. We would fill these chairs next week if every one of us were to go out into our world and preach the gospel to every creature in our world, to every person that we come in contact with. I will guarantee you, if you were to profess Christ every day, wherever it is you go, the people that, and you know what, you don't even have to look for them. God will bring them to you. And you don't even have to try to figure out, well, what am I going to say today? Because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. If we would just be obedient and sensitive to God's Spirit, whenever it is that he gives us opportunity to tell somebody else, share Christ's love with somebody else, if we would be obedient in those moments, we would find more people turning to Christ. I firmly believe that. You know why? Because the Bible says that if we lift Jesus up, he will draw men to him. We do our part. What's our part? Lift him up. What's his part? Fill in the church. That's his part. But we all have something to do there. And I got to move along because I took all my time with worship and testimony this morning, but that's all right. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The last couple of weeks, we have been talking very much about denying ourselves. We talked about why we need to deny ourselves and how we need to deny ourselves. And you know, there was another thought that I had pertaining to that I just want to share with you really quickly. If we would just simply follow Jesus' example, we would learn why and how to deny ourselves, because that's exactly what Jesus did. In order for us to be saved, he denied himself. But today I want to move on to, I've been trying to get off of this verse, but there's just so much in it. Take up our crosses and follow him. What does it mean to take up your cross? What does it mean for me to take up my cross? And I come up with, you know, I'm an observer. I like to pay attention to people. I like to pay attention to what's going around me. And you know, I like to observe things. And I learn a lot. That's one. I learn by example. If I, you know, I do all kinds of mechanical type work. I learned that from watching my dad and my brother do mechanical work when I was a kid. You know, I run heavy equipment. I learned how to run heavy equipment by watching Billy Moreland run heavy equipment. True story. I'm one who learns from example. I learn how to play the guitar by watching other people play the guitar. Now, if I want to learn something new, I go on YouTube and I find somebody else doing it, and I pay attention to that. You know, I observe and pay attention, and that's how I learn. And so I observe, you know, how... What people kind of think about taking up their cross and what it means to them. And the first thing that I found, I misspelled shoulder. How do you like that? The first thing that I thought, one of the things that I do when I get into Bible study is I'll go and I'll look at commentary. You know, what did Spurgeon say about it? What did A.J. Tozer say about it? What does Matthew Henry say about it? What does John Gill say about it? If you're not familiar with any of those names, those are, you know, just great Bible thinkers and studiers and teachers of the past. And every one of them had this particular idea, that taking up your cross is basically shouldering the burdens of life that come your way as you follow Christ. But you know, that just didn't settle with me. It just seems like there's more. But you know what? That's not a bad way to think about taking up your cross. Because guess what? You're gonna endure stuff. Stuff is gonna come your way. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Everybody, realize, please, realize, Jesus wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. How many of us on a daily basis experience God's peace? I hope you do, because that's what He wants. He wants for you. In me, Jesus, saying, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says there, in the world you will have tribulation. And that may be one of the verses that these Bible scholars leaned on to get their idea that, you know what, taking up your cross is just dealing with the tribulations of the world that come. You know, and that they may be right. There are other verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, beloved, think it not strange, we've covered this verse many times. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And so we see again, you know, perhaps this is where the idea comes from, that taking up your cross is just, you know, dealing with the fiery trials that come along and those kinds of things. My trials are different than your trials. Sometimes we share many of the same things, but certainly you will go through things that I'll never experience, and I will go through things that you have never experienced. And so, you know, take up your cross, whatever that trial may be, follow Jesus. A couple of verses later, 1 Peter, he says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Again, if any man suffer as a Christian, if any man take up their cross and follow Christ, you know, there's suffering in the cross, right? And so I'm curious if these verses that I've mentioned are where that thinking comes from. So to those who think this way, taking up the cross means to endure whatever life brings our way with patience and faith in Jesus to get through it. And that's not a bad, you know, that's not a bad understanding of taking up your cross. Perhaps many people have lived and died with comfort and peace because that's the way they believe that verse is to be interpreted, and that's okay. There's another thing that I have observed, and this one's a little bit farther out there, that Jesus literally wanted His disciples to be crucified with Him at Golgotha. If you read Matthew chapter 26, you'll read where Peter said to Him, you know, Jesus is explaining to them what's going to take place. And Peter says, you know, though I should die with you, yet I will not deny you. And so did all the disciples said that. They said, you know, even if I got to die with you, Jesus, I'm going to stay with you all the way. And you know what? Maybe that's what some people think, you know, taking up your cross is. Literally, you know, those that think this way believe that Jesus would have them become martyrs. Did I spell martyrs right? Oh, good. For the cause of Christ, and are willing to put themselves in harm's way to preach the gospel. And you know what? The world needs some people like this. We know people. We're related to people that go to out in the middle of jungles. You don't know what you're going to find out there. We've all heard the Jim Elliot story and different, you know, missionaries who've gone out to preach the gospel and teach others about Jesus, and they're killed on the spot. It's like, oh my gosh. I know of a pastor friend who wants to go to Gaza and preach to Hezbollah. Are you out of your mind? And he told me that the reason that there's an opening is because the guy that was doing that there before was killed for his faith. And he wants to go take his place. Well, brother, hey, take up your cross and follow Jesus if that's what it is. But you know what? It's good that they do that sometimes. Do you know that Jim Elliot, even though he was killed trying to preach to those Indians there in Ecuador, his wife and the wives of the other four men that were with him that died went back into those jungles and won that tribe to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And so this type of thinking, taking up your cross, if you think of it literally, then that's not a bad thing as well. And if you really think about it, when Jesus told the disciples to take up their cross and follow him, if you look in Matthew chapter 16, where it talks about this, you'll see that Jesus had just explained to them how it was that he was going to die and what was going to take place in his life. You see, he told the disciples to take up your cross and follow me long before, before he actually was crucified. You see, they didn't have the viewpoint that we have, and so perhaps they did take it literally. Maybe they did think that perhaps they were going to have to carry a cross up that hill of Golgotha as well. And so that's very possible. Now there's another way to interpret taking up your cross and following Christ. And this is, I kind of lean toward this myself. Take up your cross and follow me means being willing to die to self. It's a call to absolute surrender. I found, who uses the internet when you study the Bible? It's a great resource. It really is. I came across a website called gotquestions.org. You know, and I was just Googling some stuff and I came across this. And I found this whole answer to what does it mean taking up the cross from that particular website. And it fit exactly what my mindset has been in thinking about it. And it talks a lot about, this particular idea. It talks also about being willing to follow Jesus. Because how many of us would be willing to follow Jesus? How many of us would be truly willing to die to self? And how many would have we even got saved if when somebody was leading us to Christ, we said, well, you know what, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing some of your closest friends? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienating yourself from your family? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means the loss of your reputation? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means losing your life? Chances are, when most of us came to Christ, that when we were very young in the Lord, if it was put to us that way, we'd be like, oh boy, I don't know if I sign up for that religion. Are you kidding me? But you know, as you grow in God and you mature in Lord, in the Lord, you find out, many of my friends, they I still call them friends, they still call me friend, but we don't fellowship anymore like we did when I was drinking with them. Amen. I lost some friends. And I was a little bit alienated from my family. Some of them I still are a little bit. But I got a great family. I am blessed with just a family that loves and family that gives and whatnot. But I know a few of them think I'm a little strange yet for following this Jesus Christ. I've never lost a job from it, and obviously I haven't lost my life from it. But you know what? I'm to the place in my life where I'm willing. You know what, Lord? Whatever it takes, God, I'll serve you. Dying to self, though, I believe, is what it is that he wants us to do. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Take up your cross. Crucify yourself, the self on the inside. Your thinking, your doing, the life that you think you should live, and crucify that flesh. All the desires of the flesh, all the desires of the lust of the world and all those things. Crucify those things with Christ, yet live by letting Christ live in you. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Another verse that goes with this particular thinking, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And again in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections, with its affections and love. And so you can see, you know, just through observation, I have come up with these three different ideas of what it means to be crucified, to take up my cross, and to follow Christ. And so wherever you land in any one of those, it's okay. Let me just continue on with this last thought. Those who think this way are willing to die to self and live for Christ, forsaking worldly pleasures and lusts in order to serve God until his appearing. And I believe whether you know that's what your mentality or thought pattern has been concerning taking up your cross, I believe that every person in this place who have successfully done this, even though we all perhaps don't successfully do it every moment by moment, but when we do get it right, we find that, you know what? Life is good. Life is fulfilling. God is awesome. And you know, the things of the world, when we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we realize that the things of the world are just, they're no good. And we get great fulfillment and great joy and great peace and great strength in following Jesus Christ. And so that's why I tend to lead this toward this particular thinking, you know, dying to the self. Now, also Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Take up your cross and follow him. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Living soberly, righteously, and godly, where? In this present world. You see, there's a calling for each and every one of us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow him. So what is your cross? It's the cross. What was the cross about? You know, in this little thing that I got offline, there was some interesting thing. Let me see. Oh, yeah. When Jesus carried his cross up Golgotha to be crucified, no one was thinking the cross as a symbolic of a burden to carry. To a person in the first century, the cross meant one thing and one thing only: death by the most painful and humiliating means human beings could develop. You know, when Jesus said this, they had a mentality of what a cross was. And it was a brutal thing. It was a humiliating thing. It was a humbling thing. But it was a symbol of dying. It was a tool that was used to kill an individual. And when Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him, I think we need to think really deep about that. What exactly is he saying? Because it meant something very different to the people of his day who saw those crosses on those hills time and time again when the criminals were drug up there and hung on them. It was something very serious. And I think we should take our lives very serious. And we should seriously consider what it is that we indulge in, what it is that we allow to have influence in our lives, and what we act out in life, and take up our cross and die to self Lord bless you, Al. I know you're not feeling well, but I thank you for coming this morning. I trust that the Lord will continue healing you. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask the church to pray for you even right now. But have a blessed afternoon. Father, I thank you for Al and Chris today. And I know, God, he didn't feel well when he came in. He's obviously not feeling well now, and I just pray that you bless him. Lord, for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, God, just deliver him from this illness, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of his life, hallelujah, deliver him. So what does take up your cross and follow Jesus? You know, as I was thinking about all this, there's one other thing that comes to my mind, and that is this. To take up my cross is also for me a call to worship the one who carried my cross. I was thinking about it, and like, Jesus, you said, you told me to take up my cross, but how can I take up my cross because you took it for me? My cross and your cross is the one that he hung on. He carried it for me. He was nailed to it. He bled and he died on my cross. The cross that I was supposed to die on for the wages of my sin is what he used because he loved me so much. He took my cross for me. Isn't that awesome? The love that God demonstrated. And so when I think about my cross, to me it's like a call to worship the one who carried it for me. And so whatever it means to take up your cross and follow him, do it. Just do it. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I know I went through that rather quickly. But I trust you got the idea this morning what it is to take up your cross. Think about your life and think about what it is that you're doing. I've been serving the Lord for many years, and I still at times I got to just take a step back and say, hey, you know what, am I carrying the cross that God has given to me? Am I crucifying the flesh to the worldly things? Dying on the inside to myself? Letting Christ live in me and through me? Am I truly worshiping the one? And do I really understand the depth of love that he demonstrated when he carried my cross and hung upon it and died there when he paid for my sin? I want to challenge you this morning, if you haven't been carrying your cross, challenge you to grab hold of that thing, crucify the flesh. I'm going to sing this song that we began with this morning one more time and ask you to just do a little soul searching. Take a moment at this altar if you need to grab hold of the cross of Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us all to crucify the flesh,
to live and to walk in the Spirit. So, God, that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But, God, that we would take up our crosses as you have instructed us. Whichever way that we see it, oh God, that we would be faithful to you. And, Lord, we worship you for ultimately bearing our cross, shouldering our burden. I am guilty, ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. So Holy One, you plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you gave your life to give me mine, you say that I am free. I've been hiding, afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you could love me, but in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome, you give your life to give me mine, you say that I am free. Lord, give us clarity as to what it is it means to each and every one of us to carry our crosses. It's easy for us to say with our lips, oh God, that we would not deny you even though it costs us our lives. Our desire is the same as the disciples, God, when they spoke those words. Yet we saw by their example that when you carried that cross up that hill, there was none there. You were alone. They weren't following you with crosses of their own, but rather you carried the cross of forgiveness and mercy and grace that belonged to each and every one of us. And so as we think about our cross, taking it up, oh God, may we worship you May we die to the flesh and the worldly lust thereof, that you would be glorified in our lives as we take up our crosses and follow you. Bless each one here this morning as we leave. Have your way in our lives, your perfect will, as we turn to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. We won't have service again. We're going to start our Sunday evening services back up after the holiday. I don't like on again, off again type, and it's just, we keep going back and forth, and so I'm just going to wait till after Labor Day, and then we'll start back up with our evening service, but we will be here on Wednesday night for Celebrate Recovery at 7 o'clock, and so I hope that you come and join us with that. Amen. Danny, you have something. What's that? You want to pray over Gary? Okay, sure. If I could get some of the elders to come and certainly want this young man to go home.